grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most basic confessions that we make as Christians about God is the fact that He is omnipotent. This is just a fancy word that means that God is all-powerful. Now, like I said, it's a basic elementary confession that we make in our faith. And every Christian knows this and believes this about God. If you don't believe that God is almighty and all-powerful, then you don't believe in the one true God, and you can't rightly call yourself a Christian. Yet, as we turn our attention this morning to the gospel lesson we heard a moment ago, we're faced with a rather glaring contradiction. Did you catch it when we read that? The verse that says, Jesus could do no mighty work there. What happened? Jesus could do no mighty work there. He's among his hometown people. Now, except for the case where he laid his hands, well, the scripture says he laid his hands on a couple of sick people and healed them, that was it. Jesus could do no mighty work there. And that's the problem. According to St. Mark, the omnipotent was essentially rendered impotent. The Almighty and All-Powerful was not. What does this mean? Good question to ask when you read this. So let's think about this for a minute. The Word of God is very clear in stating that Jesus could do no mighty work in the presence of his hometown folks, the folks that doubted him. In fact, the original Greek tells us that he did not have the power to make anything powerful happen. Does this mean that Jesus truly didn't possess the skills and abilities and resources and the power and the work to do these powerful things in their midst? Or does it mean that Jesus wasn't allowed to do these powerful things in their midst? There's a big difference there. It's a huge difference. You can have all the skill, all the abilities, and all the resources in the world, but if you're not permitted to use them, if you're prevented from working all those skills and abilities and resources, they just don't do you any good if you're not permitted to do them. Basically, you can be rendered truly powerless despite all the power that you truly do possess and are willing to share. Yes, Jesus could do no mighty work in his hometown because the people there doubted and rejected him. The Apostle Paul rightly declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. These are mighty, resurrecting, life-saving, life-giving works Jesus was unable to perform. The people heard his word. They heard his law and his gospel. He proclaimed these things with his authority. His authority was that this is God himself. In both our Sunday school classes and our adult class, you know, we studied all the same thing today. And even today and right now in church, we're all still talking about the second article of the Creed. Jesus Christ. Who is this guy that we profess? It's God himself. And the people in his hometown rejected him. They were offended by him. Said, who does this guy think he is? This is a carpenter's son. This is the kid we know growing up. Here's his mom and sisters and brothers. Wait a minute, he's got no right to say these things to me. They prevented Jesus from working his powerful life-saving, life-giving gifts of repentance, forgiveness, and salvation. Now, you got to think, now couldn't Jesus have gone ahead and done it anyways? He could have overridden their choice to reject and doubt it. He could have simply snapped his finger. He could have, he could have just snapped his fingers and made it so. But by doing that against their will, would that still have made them submit? Absolutely. God's able to do anything. He could have made them submit to him. Jesus could make us submit to him fully and completely. However, if he would do this, then he would no longer be a loving and gracious God. He would no longer be the God of Scripture, the God he has revealed himself to us to be. He would instead be a forceful, tyrannical God. One God that would stand here and say, you will serve, honor, love, and obey me, whether you like it or not. See, that doesn't sound like the one true God. That's the kind of God folks are trying to portray and to persuade Christians to follow the inklings of man these days. It's the way the world is today, this very moment. They want us to make a God conform to them, not us conform to God. Well, that's not how it works. You know, it truly saddens me that this is the same faithless prevention exhibited by the hometown crowd that still goes on today. People still deny and prevent Christ from working all the time. They deny the efficiency of God's grace, mercy, and peace. Just look at the news the last couple of weeks, huh? Scores of people this day will lament about how much trial and tribulation and fear and sorrow they have in their lives. They're going to moan. They're going to complain. Oh, my, look at me. And yet, in the same breath, they will denounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will denounce Christ's saving grace, which he gives out through his church. Denouncing all of this as a big waste of time. It's a burden that trespasses into their time off on Sunday mornings. It cuts into their leisure time. It's such a precious thing they have. We work so hard all week long. I get 2 days of rest. I need time for me. How many parents are keeping their children from Christ's saving power of baptism because all they see is just, oh, it's just, it's water. And how many people are sitting there saying, I don't need church. Had a fella tell me the other day at the gas station, I don't need an organized religion. That's just mammon is what he said. There's two things that mammon could be. Church is neither. Thousands of people will this very day partake of some crackers and grape juice, calling it the Lord's Supper. and they will continue to deny that Jesus could actually be present. That his very body and blood is in, with, and under this bread and this wine. They will deny it. They will deny his blood and body is for the forgiveness of sins. Even though, as he quite clearly says in Holy Scripture, that this is his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Apparently, they're smarter than God's word. And it further deeply disturbs me to know that there's many good Christian people who fail to recognize the true body and blood of Christ simply because they're preventing Christ from giving them the true life-saving gifts. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. It's upsetting to know that people are content with an empty, powerless, and counterfeit belief that they don't need a church for maintaining a connection with the God Almighty who loves them so dearly. Now, of course, we're looking at this just from our perspective. Word and sacrament ministry that we have here. That's our default. That's where we go at the bare bones basics of this church. Zion Lutheran Church of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Down to the very root, the basics. You can't go no lower than this. You can't divide it out any further. Word and sacrament ministry. The Word of God is what we teach, preach, and confess. And the holy sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's it. That's bare bones. And you can't go no lower. No, you can't explain it any less than that. That is the ministry of this church. Well, I'm not going there. They just want my money. Well, we just exclaimed today in adult Bible class, it doesn't take a person very long to find out, coming each week, the growth of faith. There are many in this world who never voice this doubt concerning God's omnipotence. Many people don't talk about it, but they're thinking it, just to be politically correct. And I can tell you from certain fact that there are people sitting here right now. You know, like, it's a common expression to say, hey, I'm just preaching to the choir here. But there are some of us that are sitting right here right now. And I can't point the fingers. I don't know for certain. But it's just of all the probability that there are some that are sitting here right now that doubt the omnipotence of God, how mighty he is. Is this the true body and blood of Christ sitting upon this altar for our consumption, for the forgiveness of our sins? You know why I say that? Because we're born sinful. We all are. We just confess. I, a poor, miserable sinner. And yet, there are those times when life bottoms out. We hit that rock bottom, and being a good Christian that we are, we turn to God in prayer. Unfortunately, the bad situation only gets worse in spite of our prayers, in spite of our noticeable temporary increase in religiosity. Things get bad and the church beefs up. The last time the church had a growth spurt was after 9/11. The Sunday immediately following 9/11, churches swelled. But then the very next week after that, they got smaller. and they got smaller. What's happening here is not any different than what's happening in all Christian churches around the country, around the world. Did you know that in Germany, the birthplace of the Reformation, where our faith, our church began, there are millions who have no idea who Jesus Christ is. In Wittenberg, Germany, where Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses upon the village church doors, there's a mission going on there because so many people went way out the other way. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know that there's a loving God. We may not like to admit it, but we routinely will deny and prevent Christ from working his gifts of life and salvation, and we do so for a wide variety of reasons. A lot of reasons. Right here on this arm, I can give you the number of excuses I've heard why people don't go to church. It's that long. The weather's too bad, it's too dark, it's too light, it's too early, it's too late. My feelings get hurt. I cry when I go to church. No one likes me there. I'm not welcome there. There's a lot of reasons that I have heard myself personally why people don't come to church. And to be honest with you, not very many of them are very good reasons for not coming to church. How many times have we failed to open our mouths and speak up, proclaiming the truth of Christ's word when it's needed the most? I know that you all know somebody that isn't here today and who needs to hear this message of salvation. Why don't you share it with them? What's stopping you from taking it to someone who needs to hear it? When all this hesitation to share the love of Christ happens in our lives, I understand why Christ marveled at the people's unbelief. It's really sad because in all these instances, here's the Almighty and all-powerful God calling us and reaching down from heaven to be in our very midst, to work and to speak to us and through us, to teach us and to feed us and nourish us as our fellow brothers and sisters. He feeds us with his gifts. And what do? We put a muzzle on him. We don't let him do it. Give you a real good example of that. Prayer in our schools. We don't let them do that anymore. The Ten Commandments in public display. They're being taken down all over this country. Why? Because we let them do that. The name of Christ is not heard in the communities because we don't share it. My simple prayer for you this day, my friends, and every day, is that nothing prevents this receiving and sharing of these life-giving, life-saving gifts in your life. Not me, not you, not you, anyone or anything keep you from these precious things. My prayer is that through the eyes and ears of saving faith, which God has freely given to you as his gift, a gift which enables you to recognize and repent and receive and give thanks for the mighty and powerful workings of God in his word and his holy sacraments. You behold not the mere broken vessels and earthly means God chooses to use them, but the true giver of these powerful life-saving gifts, Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ who is your loving and gracious, Almighty and all-powerful Lord and Savior, the same Jesus Christ who willingly laid down his life for you and for me, so that our sins would be forgiven. It is finished. In Christ alone and because of Christ alone, the powers of sin, death, and the grave have been crushed. They've been put to death by the all-sufficient power of Christ and his all-redeeming life, death, and resurrection. The omnipotent Savior, Jesus Christ, full God, full man, has effectively and eternally rendered sin, death, and the devil impotent. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to doubt. There's nothing to have despair over. No matter how dark the world and current events may seem, it is finished. Our omnipotent God and Lord has declared it. It is so. This is your good news. This is your gospel, baptismal reality. Almighty God has worked truly powerful things in his life, death, and in his resurrection, all for you. You are his precious child, a child he willingly laid down his life for on a criminal's cross, suffering all for his Father's righteousness, so that God's hellish wrath would not be for you. He took it himself. He did this all so that nothing would ever prevent you from receiving eternal love and life.